And so we have this acronym to help us remember. Jesus. Jesus first. Everyone tells God's story, spending time daily in scripture and prayer. Unity of the family and sharing God's gifts. Because when we model these, live these out, look for ways to do them, then when we live these out, people will know and see Christ in us. They will know and see that Christ is in us. The Bible says they will know we are believers. They will know we are Christians by our love and the way that we treat one another, the way that we treat other people. So it's really important that we live out and know what our core values are. So the first one we looked at was Jesus first, which is we believe in the supremacy of Christ in all things. Every person is created to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Life transformation comes by grace through faith in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we were created by and for Jesus, which answers two questions. Does my life matter? And why am I here? And that's why it's the very first thing that we need to look at, because that's often what people struggle with. Does my life matter? And why am I here? I had a conversation with someone this week. It seems like when you hit 40, you start to ask this question more and more. What have I done in my life that really matters? What am I doing? And so to know that Jesus made us and has plans and purposes for us is so important to hold on to and to live out, because then you can wake up every morning going, well, I'm still here. My dad would say, well, the Lord hasn't taken me yet, and until he does, then you have to put up with me for one more day. Because he had this understanding that until the Lord took him, that he had purpose. So that's why it's so important to know and believe that Jesus needs to be first in every single area, because then we can walk in confidence knowing that he is going to give us the purpose that we're seeking. Secondly, is everyone shares God's story. We believe that God uses people to accomplish his purposes on earth, equipping every follower, not just some, every follower of Christ to fulfill their part of sharing God's love. And so we had four people share their story of how they share God's story. And there was four things. There was vulnerability, intimacy, developing relationships, and knowing your story. Because it's so important to actually make yourself available to tell people about Jesus. And the intimacy comes with you and your time that you spend with the Lord. Because it's interesting, as you spend time with the Lord, then that just, it comes out in your conversations with others. It comes out in how you love other people. So part of you sharing God's story is you actually spending time with Jesus, so you have something to share. Thirdly, the developing of relationships, making yourself available to have a conversation with your neighbor, or the person at Tim Hortons, or the person who carries, well, I guess you don't carry bags out anymore. Back in the day, people would carry your bags out of the grocery store. But even the person who's putting the stuff in, if you actually let them touch your groceries, to have that conversation, to show them the love of Christ. And then know your story so that when people ask questions, then it says to always be ready with a word of testimony about your hope in Christ. So everyone needs to be sharing God's story, because I can't do it on my own. I'm not in your circles. So it's so important that everyone shares God's story. Thirdly, is spending time daily. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and prayer connects us with God and provides guidance for all of life. We turn to these things first in every situation. So spending time daily in Word and Scripture is all about relationship. We hear from God through the Bible, and we talk to God through prayer. And these are the two key things that you need to grow yourself in your relationship with Christ. I love this quote. It says, as a Christian, you need to be healthy here in Scripture and prayer before you can be healthy anywhere else. Because it's in the Word of God that you actually learn who God really is. The Bible reveals on every single page characteristics of God. And then prayer helps you to hear his voice. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you didn't know. It also goes on to say, you have not because you ask not, because you ask with the wrong motives. So it's so important to talk to the Lord, to spend time in the Word, because that builds relationship. And so today, we're specifically talking about the U of our acronym, which is Unity of the Family. We believe we are created for community. Spiritual transformation happens best when we meet together in small and large groups, providing everyone with the opportunity to worship God as we grow, serve, and develop leaders in each generation. So, number one, we are becoming the person God intends for us to become can only happen in community. If you've ever been told of how the world was created, it says in the beginning God created man, and it was good, but he didn't want man to be alone, so he created female. And there's something about community that's important, or else God would have only created man, and I don't know what would have happened after that. He might have lived forever. Because we're not told. That's not how the story goes. So you don't even have to speculate. But we're told that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he created a female. Someone a little different. But would complement him. To be in community. To be in relationship together and with God. So we are actually designed to be in community. A friend of mine is a long-haul trucker. And the time that I've spent with him was at camp. And he felt that he was an introvert, and he would bring his theological study books and read them at the table during meals. And I'll be like, Luke, this is a talking table. This is not a reading table. If you want to read, go to a different table. And so he would put his books down, and he would interact with us. Well, now he's in seminary, and I guess there's nobody on his floor. And he's like, Jen, I'm actually talking to the maintenance man because he's the only person on the floor. He's like, maybe I'm not as introverted as I thought I was. And it's interesting because he's realizing that he was made for community. That idea that, yeah, being an introvert is okay, but we still need to be around people. Maybe we don't need to do all the talking, or we don't need to do all the instigating of conversation, but we still need to be around people, interacting with them. And then secondly, spiritual transformation happens during every stage of life. Every stage of life. I love the fact that we have an older aspect in our congregation who are attending Bible studies, who are serving at Kendall's Heights and at Awana and Sunday School. And they are continuing to grow and serve even though they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Spiritual transformation happens throughout life, and it happens when we serve other people. I like how I sum this up on the next page. It says this: together we are building a community where people of all ages can come to know Jesus and grow in their faith by serving others. The way that we grow in our faith for the first probably year or two, Sunday morning is really all you need. There's enough new information on a Sunday morning that you're set. You're processing it all week long. Well, after about 2 years, you need something more, like a small group, so that you can be in a small group talking things out. So if you haven't gotten plugged into a small group by about 2 years, you need to get into one. And then after about 5 years in a small group, you actually need to start mentoring someone. And mentoring isn't like you sit down across from the table and you go over a list of questions. It can, but sometimes it's having coffee with someone. Sometimes it's inviting them over for a meal and having a conversation. Sometimes if it's you teaching an Awana class or a small group, it's bringing someone else alongside you and talking about how you're going to lead that or leading it together. Because as you serve, you actually have to come up with answers because they're going to start asking you questions. Well, why are you doing this? And why do we do this? And why do we do this? And then you're going to have to come up with reasons or an understanding of why we do things. Or when you say God does this, why do you say that? And so that's why, as you continue on in your faith, you need to actually be connecting with other people in that mentoring, growing up relationship so that you grow in your faith and they grow in their faith. And that's the type of community we're seeking to build, where it's not just the pastor or the pastors, but it's all of y'all working together to grow up our church family so they are God's family, knowing, growing, and serving in the love of Christ. That's why unity of the family is so important. There is a part for every single person to play. Every person to to play. And it's not just about showing up on Sunday morning, because if you come in late and then leave early and haven't talked to anyone, I wouldn't say you're actually part of the family. I know I just said that. I even thought about not saying it, but it's true. Because you haven't contributed. And you might say, well, I tithe. Well, then God also says a lot about other things in the Bible besides tithing. It's not just a box to check. It's a life to live. And so when I encourage you to stay after service because maybe you need to encourage someone, I genuinely believe that you need to stay after service because maybe there's someone that you need to encourage or someone needs to encourage you. I watched Claire Riley run by, and she her pigtails are in braids now. And I was like, ooh, she's getting to be a big girl. But I know who Claire is because I hang out afterwards and I talk to her parents. It's so important that if you're calling BFMC your place where you worship God on a regular basis, and if you really want to get plugged in, then you get plugged in a serving role, in a hanging out role, in a talking to each other role. Because we're going to unpack those scriptures that we had after that. So the first one is this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so if I was to unpack that, it would go like this. We meet together to encourage and motivate each other to experience the life God intends for us. And all the more is the day approaching, because as Jesus is in the process of returning, we are told that life on this earth is going to get very confusing, because the lines between truth and non-truth will get very, very blurred. And that's why we need to meet together, so we can have those conversations. So we can say, I saw this, what do you think? Well, what does the Word of God say? Let's talk about it together. That's why we need to be meeting together. So we aren't these Lone Ranger Christians wondering what is going on, but we need to encourage one another as the world becomes further and further and further away from Christ. We need to come together so that we know what the truth is and can breathe that truth into the world around us. Next, Pastor Mike did this book in a book study this past summer. It says, if you scorn the fellowship of the brethren, that's a really old word for family, church family. You reject the call of Jesus Christ, and thus your solitude can only be hurtful for you. Because you actually can't experience the fullness of the life God has for you unless you meet together with other people. And you might say, but I don't like them. Well, we're going to get to that. Hold on. Hold that thought. I know it's... Second verse is, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Next. So it is only love, God's love through us, that will enable the Christian community to do what the Christian community needs to do. It's only God's love through us that will help us be who we need to be. So we can't be relying on ourselves, because I'm empty a lot of the time. I don't have the ability to just love and love and love and love and love on my own. I need Jesus. And so this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, I can no longer condemn or hate a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face that hitherto or up till now may have been strange and intolerable to me is transformed in intercession into the countenance of a brother for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner. Because it's really easy to not treat people kindly when we forget that we're a sinner and they're a sinner, and we both have been forgiven. That's really easy to do. It's really easy to look down our face, our noses at people when we forget what we have been forgiven of. That pre-Christ, we were separated from him. But because of Christ, we have been reconciled with God. That relationship with God has been made new. So we need to be reminded that we all started off in the same place. We all started off in the same place. And even though it can be really hard to love people sometime, we need to ask for God's love working through us. Next. Because it says, it's hard to like other believers sometimes. Next. So how do I pray about this? And this next slide I actually have in my bathroom. That should tell you how often I pray it, because I visit there a lot. So it says, since we live in a fallen world, we will often find ourselves surrounded by irritable, petulant, cranky, annoying, aggravating, frustrating, crabby, unreasonable, cantankerous people. And that's on a good day. Sometimes people will say things or do things to deliberately irritate us. And let's face it, some people are just very hard to love. So what do we do then? There are many answers to that question, but our text suggests one very practical answer. We should pray for our love to increase. It's one thing to say, Lord, get this fool away from me before I say something I shouldn't. And it's another thing to pray, Lord, please change this person so that they won't be so obnoxious. But it's something else entirely to pray. Lord, I really don't care for this person. I don't like this person. He gets on my nerves. He's a total jerk. He's a bossy, dominating, opinionated fool. I don't even want to love him or like him, and I prefer not to be around this person at all. I now ask that you would overlook my feelings and do whatever it takes to increase my love. I'm low on love, Lord, and I ask you to fill me up. And that's a prayer God will be glad to answer. Because it's easy to pray the prayer, God, change that person. It's easy. Change that person, because it has nothing to do with us. Something totally different to say, God, would you change my heart towards that person? Would you help me to see what you want me to see in that person? Because you love and have created them, and they bear the image of Christ, just like I do. That's a totally different prayer. And that's what we need to be praying. Unity of the family only happens when we practice the one another's. And the one another's are basically this. They are love, encourage, greet, forgive, be humble, agree, spur to love, be kind, live in peace, submit, have compassion, be sympathetic, admonish, don't pay back wrong, don't lie, serve, live in harmony, pray for, don't judge, be gentle, offer hospitality, have the mind of Christ, be patient, spur to good deeds, don't deprive, speak songs to, honor, confess to, be like-minded, be devoted, have equal concern, bear in love, build up, instruct, don't grumble, accept, don't provoke, and don't slander. This is the type of community God calls us to. And those are all those little wee scriptures, that's all actually in the Bible. I didn't make it up. God calls us to this kind of community. And this is the only way unity of the family, that means united towards one purpose, which is God's family, knowing, growing, and serving. Doing this is how we gain unity to actually help us know, grow, and serve. Preferring one another, building one another up, encouraging one another. I've had people speak into my life where they're like, Jen, you're wrong. You're doing this wrong. And it doesn't feel good when people say that to me, but I know they love me and they want the best for me. So I need to receive that admonishment. We need to be practicing the one another's if we want to experience true unity of the family. And I can still hear, I talk a lot about my dad because he had a big influence, but he would say to me, can you not just choose to get along? Because you've all, if you're a parent, you've had kids in the back seat or on the way out of the door who are bickering. And he would say, can you not just choose to get along? And it is a choice. It is a choice to do these one another's. It's also a choice to say, God, get that fool out of my face. One is the better of the two. And so the question is, well, what does unity of the family look like? So I asked some people what they like about BFMC, and it was interesting to hear the response. So here it is. I have watched so many and heard so many people come in and say, I just feel so welcomed here. And then I watched the community happen, and people are connecting with one another. And they said, it feels safe. I feel at peace. I'm taught well. Friends have become family. I'm like, yes. If you are part of the Berry Free Methodist Church family, one of our core values is unity of the family. We value family. We value community. We value community. We value one another. You are not just a name on a list. We pray for you regularly. When I pray for you, I see your face. And I want God's goodness and best for you. Because we care. If God has brought you to us, then we need to look after you. And you need to help look after us. I love what Derek Blair said. He said, there are times when you serve the family, and there's times when you actually need the family to serve you. That's what we do. That's what unity of the family looks like. Next. So the question, yeah, we are not a perfect family. We are not. And I loved what Sarah said. She's like, I'm not pushed to be perfect. And none of us are. But we are pushed to be real. And this quote says this. It goes against the grain to give an image of oneself that is anything less than perfect. And many Christians imagine that they will be rejected by others if they admit to any faults. But nothing could be more destructive to Christian koinonia or fellowship than the common practice today of pretending not to have any problems. I'm the first one to admit that I have issues. And we have to be willing to share our issues with one another and not to be afraid of what they're going to say, because they might have the very same issue. This is a place where we can actually be really real with people and say, I'm struggling with this. You have heard me say on Sundays, I've gone all week and not even sure if God still exists. So if I'm your pastor and I'm sharing that with you, then it's okay to share whatever it is that you're going through. It's okay. We are not perfect people, but we are here to walk alongside each other so that we can truly be God's family, knowing, growing, and serving Christ. So what do we do with a message like this? Well, here's our scale. And the question is, next, how much does this value unity of the family direct your behavior? Like, are you committed? Are you committed to this body of believers? Body of believers, or are you just here for the Sunday morning deposit and then you leave withdrawal, but you're not actually making a deposit, then you need to check your heart on that. You need to check your heart on that. Next. Do you want to move further up the scale towards connecting? Maybe you're not part of a small group, or you're not serving, or maybe you're not giving. Maybe you just genuinely come in, plunk yourself down and leave, and you're not giving financially or socially, relationally. Maybe you're not teaching. You just come, withdraw, and leave. I'm going to encourage you to ask Jesus what he would have you do in that, because we are told that we need to be part of, actively engaged with a body of believers so we that can experience the fullness of what God has for us. And then how will you do it? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I want you to think about that question. How am I doing with unity of the family? Am I plugged in? Am I committed? Am I giving? Next week, we're going to talk about sharing God's goodness with our time, talents, and treasures. And maybe now is even the Holy Spirit is going to start stirring up in you, how should I be contributing to the unity of the family? Do I have conversations with people? Do I share what's really going on in my life in an appropriate way? But do I share? Do I actually turn to the person who sits beside me and say hi? Or do I just like, I don't know. But we are called to be plugged in, encouraging one another in the faith, participating so that we can experience the fullness of God and so can others. So I'm going to let that marinate with you as we sing this next song. And the prayer rails are always available, but maybe God is tapping you on the shoulder to say, I want you to go forward. For this person, maybe that's part of what God's asking you to do, is to intercede for people. So he's going to ask you to come forward to pray for someone, and you're like, I've never done that before. Don't worry. There's lots of things that we haven't done, but when we do it with family, it's okay. So Heavenly Father, we say thank you so much for this church family. Lord, we are very, very blessed. So help us to be good stewards of it, and help us to know what you would have us do to participate in it, so that every single person can know, grow, and serve you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.